Bibles, if you would, go to the book of Proverbs and the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs. You know, sometimes you preach a message. Every now and then the Lord will give you a message to preach and it touches your heart. And I believe this. I believe there are some sermons and some messages that every church and every Christian ought to hear. I believe that. And this is a message that I have preached several times already in my life. But it's a message that I feel like when the Lord gives me an opportunity to preach somewhere, we all need to hear this message. I have preached this message to myself, and I have lived this message out, and we're going to get to it in just a moment. But I want to ask you a question tonight. We're going to talk about the subject of pride, the number one killer of revival and churches. Pride kills anything that's good. Would you agree with that? Pride is destructive in the life of the Christian, and it's destructive in the life of a church. But I want to ask you a question before we get started tonight. How many of you would raise your hand and admit that you have a problem with pride? Would you raise your hand? All right. Some of you struggle with pride. Now, I want you to know, those of you who raised your hand, that I am going to be preaching to you tonight. You know where this is going, don't you? But I'm especially going to be preaching to those of you who did not raise your hand. Your pride wouldn't let you raise your hand and say, I have a problem with pride. Those of you from Landmark at Vianne, you already knew that was coming, didn't you? You said, I've heard this one before. Hey, listen, pride is an issue in many people's lives. It is a very dangerous sin, and it's a very deceptive sin. Oftentimes, we're not aware of our pride. Hey, listen, oftentimes, we're proud of our humility. One Christian said, I feel like my greatest Christian attribute is my humility. I'm going to write a book on it and fill it with pictures of myself. It can be very deceptive, but I am preaching to every person in this room tonight. And I want to tell you, your pride will bring you low in your lifetime. It wasn't so long ago that I hurt my back, and the wheels have started to come off of this thing. And I called my body, and I injured my back, and I was down. And I was down for a couple of weeks. Actually, I hurt my back, and I managed to get into the hospital. They shot me full of morphine, sent me away, and they said, go to your regular doctor. I went to my regular doctor. He said, how you doing? I said, well, I'm walking. I said, I can't say much more than that. He said, well, then you just need to suck it up and get on with your life and start living your life. So I did. I lived my life for 4 weeks. I lived my life. I would get out of bed. I would roll over to my side. I would push up like this. How many of you know where I'm at? You push up like this. You put your feet on the ground. You stand up like this, and you sing the hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah. And you're glad to be standing. And then you go to the bathroom like this, very gingerly. I did this for 4 weeks until I could not walk anymore. I crawled into the church one Sunday morning, literally on my hands and knees in my suit, and I laid on the floor like a beached whale. And I remember my wife, my loving, kind wife, she came and stood over me and she said, you ever think that God has stricken you down because of your pride? Nothing warms the heart like that kind of love and honesty. I said, you know, come to think of it, that's actually crossed my mind. My pride had brought me low. And listen, friends, it will bring us low. Look in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, a verse we all know way too well. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit, a proud spirit, before a fall. Now, I want you to get that, because that is a warning to us about what we can avoid in our lives. We can avoid a lot of pitfalls in our life if we would deal with the pride that comes into our lives regularly. Now, I want you to know that I have lived this verse out in my lifetime. Many times, actually. But the most distinct time in my life that I remember living this out, and I have shared this story hundreds of times probably, but it is so true, and it affected me so greatly, was when I first started preaching just a few years back. And I got up, I told you on night one about my first sermon, about how I prepped, or that was night two, how I had prepped for this sermon. I had prayed to God to give me a message and to show me what He wanted to say to His people through me. And I sent that message to heaven and back, and I prayed, and I saturated the Scriptures and my thoughts with prayer. And I got up and I preached, and I preached what I thought was great power and precision. Looking back, it really wasn't, but I thought it was at the time. And God began to move in a powerful way. And there was a great response in that message. And a boy who was confused about what God wanted him to do in a moment said, "Clearly, this is what you want me to do. And clearly, I can do it." And so the next time that it was my turn to preach, I didn't send my message to heaven and back. I didn't saturate the Scriptures and my thoughts with prayer. I stood on that stage behind the pulpit of the Lord God Almighty. And listen, friends, I stood there all alone. I stood there in my flesh thinking, "I can do this." And the Lord, you know what He did? He let me do it. And He let me do it all by my lonesome. That I could not form a cognitive thought, a coherent thought that made any sense at all. I opened my Bible. My reading level went down to a kindergarten reading level. The notes on my paper turned to hieroglyphics. I began to sweat profusely. I couldn't even conjure up a good thought to share with God's people because I had in my pride thought that I can do what God has called me to do. And I was wrong. It brought me very low. We have to be careful about our pride, because before your fall and before destruction will come that pride. It goes before destruction. Now, pride is very dangerous. It's very deceptive. It's a very tricky sin, isn't it? We're often proud of our humility. I know that sounds crazy, but I want you to think about something with me. In the book of Luke, chapter 18, you don't have to go there. I just want to share this with you. There is a story here that Jesus shares, a parable about a Pharisee and a publican. It's in Luke 18. In verse 10, Jesus says this to them. He says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican," a religious leader and someone who was a hated tax collector, considered to be a vile sinner and a thief. The Pharisee, the religious person, stood and prayed thus with himself. I think it's worth noting that he says he prayed with himself. And here's what he prayed: "God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men, who are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. Hey, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And then there was the publican over here standing afar off, who would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote on his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." A Sunday school teacher taught that lesson to her Sunday school class, and she did a really good job. And when she got done, she looked at the children in her class and she said, "Kids, aren't you glad that we're not like that old Pharisee?" Is it sinking in? See how pride can be slippery? It's a slippery slope. We're proud of our humility. "I'm not like that person. I'm so thankful I'm not like them. And now I am lifted up in my own pride, in my own self-righteousness." And friends, many people are proud in that way. And we're going to talk about some problems with pride tonight. But before we do that, let's talk about what pride is not. Pride is not having a good self-image. You ought to have a good self-image. You have been created again in Christ Jesus as a new creature. You know, many people will say things like, I'm just an old sinner who's been saved by grace. And that is technically true. But listen, that is not the biblical definition of who you are. You are a born-again Christian who has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a royal blue blood, an heir to the throne, heirs with Christ Jesus. Now understand that. There's nothing wrong with being proud of who you are in Christ and who Christ has made you to be. You are somebody to Jesus. Mark Lowry, the great comedian, he always has people to lift up their thumbs and look at their thumb. You got your thumb handy? Pick your thumb up, turn around and look at it like this right here. You see that? Do you see that imprint on there? This is what Mark Lowry does. He says, there is not another imprint like that on all planet Earth. That is a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. You know what that means? That means that you are thumb body. You are thumb body in Christ Jesus. That's not what pride is. Pride is not having a good self-image. Hey, pride is not taking pride in a job well done. That's not the pride we're talking about. If you do something, you ought to do it well as unto the Lord. Hey, listen, if you're washing the church van, you ought to wash it well, right, Brother Brian? You ought to do a good job. If you're sweeping the floors, you ought to sweep out the corners too. No matter what you're doing, you ought to take pride in your job. My sons and I, we have a little lawn mowing business and we cut grass. And I tell them, some of these houses that we cut grass at are worth a lot of money. And I say, listen, we're not going to go out there and cut zigzags. We're going to go cut straight lines and we're going to edge this thing out, make it look clean and nice. And you're going to take pride in your work because you're going to sign your name to it when you're done. That's not the pride we're talking about. You ought to take pride in your work. But what pride is in reality, the pride that we're talking about, the pride that Proverbs says comes before destruction and before a fall, it is a few things. One, it is an attitude of independence from God. That's what it is. It is saying, I don't really need God all that much. Now let me ask you this. Is your prayer life really good and really hot and really full? Do you spend a lot of time in prayer? If the answer is no, the reason is because of your pride. The reason you don't pray is because deep down you don't really think that you need to. You say, well, hey, listen, I'm doing good. I have strength. I have ability. I have a good job. I have picked myself up. I've done these things for myself. Well, who gave you the strength? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the opportunity but God Himself? You know, Paul asks a penetrating question. He says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if you did receive it, then why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? What do you have that you didn't get? It came from God Himself. And pride is an attitude of independence from God. It's a spirit of ungratefulness toward God as well. Pride says, I did all this, it's mine. I did this for myself, and I don't need to thank God. I don't need to pray to God. I don't need to do these things. Those, if your prayer life is weak, it's evidence of pride in your life. Now, some of you have already thought in your mind, he's not talking to me. I am not a proud person. Well, let's take a little test. I like tests. Pride is oftentimes when we esteem ourselves better than others. You know those people, right? The people who cut you off in traffic. I always say, thank you. Thank you for letting me live in your universe today. Please don't let me get in your way, because you're far more important than I am and anybody else on the road. There's people who think they're better than everybody else. Pride does that. Let's take a little test to see if you struggle with pride. Isaac says that I don't struggle with pride. I embrace my pride. That's what he said. He said, Brother Matt, you don't struggle with pride. You embrace it and own it. That may be true. Let's see if you struggle with pride. Number one, pride. A proud person gets angry when they're corrected. You ever get angry when someone tells you that what you said or what you did was wrong? Don't you love it when you did something voluntarily and someone else tells you how they would have done it better? Those are fun, aren't they? That's a good test of your pride. You know, I really appreciate you doing that. You know, but if I had done that, I would have done it this way. That never happens in this church, probably. Never happened in this church. But pride can't be corrected. Pride says, oh, you can't tell me what I did wrong. Number two, here's another test. A proud person refuses to admit their mistakes. Do you struggle to take ownership of the things that you maybe got wrong? Or do you constantly produce excuses about why it was okay to be wrong? I have a son who is like that, and I love him, but man, that son of mine is an excuse-making machine. The excuses don't even have to make sense. They don't even have to make sense. They don't even have to be in the context of what we're even talking about. It just has to be an excuse. He can't just say, I was wrong. That's pride. You can call it what you want. You can call it stubbornness. You can say, well, this is just how I'm wired. No, you're wired with sin at your very nature. And pride is in the middle of all that. And pride says, I'm not wrong. You can't correct me. I don't make mistakes. Number three, a proud person. Here's another way you can be proud. A proud person will accept praise for things over which they have no control. Beauty. You know, some people are just born beautiful. You know, I'm not talking about me. Quit laughing, Chesney. I ain't talking about me. Quit laughing because I was born this way. I had to live with it. Talents. Some people are just born with talents. And it's just a God-given gift that they have to do. A proud person takes credit for those things as if they did something for them. No. You know, when my pastor, I've been at Florence Street for 11 years next Sunday. My pastor, he's in some ways, he's kind of like the drunk old dad that never told you he loved you until right before he died, you know. You know, son, I love you. Brother West doesn't give me affirmation. The three times that he's told me I did a good job, I almost fell over. Three times he's told me in 11 years, hey, you did good. But everybody likes affirmation, don't they? Everybody likes someone say, oh, you're so good at that. But when we begin to accept praise for things over which we have no control, it's our pride doing that. And when people tell me, hey, you're so good at that, I try as much as I can to say, praise God. Praise God. And deflect all the praise back to Him because it would be real easy to feed my pride. And as my pride rises, it won't be long before I fall because pride will bring you low. Amen. So, are you struggling with pride? Do you struggle to accept criticism? Do you struggle to admit your mistakes? Do you accept praise for things that you don't have control over? How about this? How about a proud person will refuse to take counsel? Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. Prideful people cannot take counsel from somebody else. They cannot be instructed. Your children, you'll see this in your children, right? They don't want to take your instruction because what would you know? Anyway, let's look at five ways tonight very quickly. Five ways that pride can destroy your life. Number one. Pride defies God. Go to Proverbs chapter 6 with me if you would. We're going to kind of skip around in the Proverbs. You can mark them and pin them as you want to. But Proverbs chapter 6, I want you to see five ways tonight that pride will destroy your life and can destroy your church, can destroy your marriage, and any other thing. Number one, pride defies God. Look at chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. He says, these six things that the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. He's going to give us a list of things that God hates. Why? Because they defy God. Number one, number 17 here. He says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running the mischief, a false witness witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Don't let number 19, the very last one there, don't let that one slide past you. Those who sow discord among the brethren are on the list of things that God hates. But number one on God's hate parade was a proud look, wasn't it? Why is that? Why does God hate pride? Because pride defies God and who He is. It was pride that created the devil. It was pride that turned Lucifer, the son of the morning, into Satan, the father of night. When you go to Isaiah, and I won't take you there, but chapter 7, you read about the fall of Satan, and you see the usage of the word I in those phrases there, where it says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He wants to be exalted. He's defying God to be like Him, and he is brought low. His pride that wants to lift him up is the very thing that will bring him down and bring his destruction, just as Proverbs 16:18 says. You know, Satan's entire kingdom is predicated on pride. He wants to feed your pride. He wants to feed your ego. He wants to feed your brain these things. And he wants to ruin your life by teaching you how to defy God with your pride as well. Pride ruined the human race. Even Adam and Eve here in the garden, when they were tempted by Satan, the same temptation that took Lucifer and turned him into Satan is the same temptation that he used in the garden against Adam and Eve. He went to them and he said, hey, look. And they said that he began to plant seeds of doubt into their minds, into Eve's mind, about who God is and what he really wants. Yea, hath God said? Did he really say this? But God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, that you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And see what he's tempting them with? He's tempting them with pride. Hey, you could be like God. You could know good from evil. God's only holding this back because he doesn't want you to be equal with him. He wants to keep you down here. And so he tempts them with pride, the very sin that brought him down, he used to bring down mankind. He used it in the same way that we see it today. It is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is fruit to make one wise. Pride flies in the face of all that God is about. 1 Peter 5:5, if you ought to write that down in your margin, and you ought to write it down in your heart and in your mind, 1 Peter 5:5 says, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Yeah, it doesn't mean that God moderately opposes your pride in your life. It actually gives the idea that he is coming into full battle array against your pride. When your pride rises up, the armies of God come up against your pride to push back. He resisteth the proud as an army would resist the insurgents of another army. But he gives grace to the humble. We ought to write that on our hearts. Because our pride defies God. And when you begin to defy God in your life, it will destroy your life. Number two, Mike will be so proud. I have no sub-points. There's no confusion tonight. Pride defies God. Number two, pride defiles man. Go back to Proverbs 16. It defiles man. You see, from our beginning, this pride is in us, and it works to defile us. You know, my heart is naturally given to pride. My heart wants to protect my pride and build up my pride. Proverbs 16:5 says this, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Can you think about that for a second? Can you imagine? Because listen, guys, what we want to do is protect our pride and protect our ego and our image, and we want to hold it right here, and we lift ourselves up and we hold ourselves there. But the Bible says everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to God. Now I want you to think about that. Let that soak over you for a second. Now, when I say the word abomination, you know what comes into your mind? Oh, those homosexuals out there, those are an abomination to God, right? Isn't that what comes into our hearts and our minds? Oh, those transgender people, those are an abomination. Oh, the pedophile who molests little children, he and she, they are an abomination to God. Oh, so-and-so and such, those are abominations. But God says everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to Him. And listen, we want to set all these people over here and go, oh, there's a category over here of people that I would never be like them. And now I'm lifted up in my own pride. And now I, through my own pride, have become an abomination to God. Does it not scare anybody but me? Because listen, pride will slip right into my life just that fast. It is so easy. But Christian, I want you to know this. As soon as it slides in there, it won't be long before you're sliding down. You have to be careful. Guard yourself. Pride will destroy your life because it defies God. It defiles man. Proverbs 21:4 says this. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. There it is again, that proud heart. Well, how did it get in there? How did that proud heart get in? We're proud by nature. We're proud by nature. The old illustration of the worm and the apple. I know Brother Isaac and every preacher in America has used this illustration. But when you see a wormhole in your apple, do you know that worm didn't bore into that? You know what, by the way, you know the only thing worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm in your apple, that's right. Oh, there he is. When you see that hole in that apple, that worm did not bore into that apple. He was actually boring his way out of that apple. See, he was born inside that apple. His little egg was laid on the blossom of that apple. And he was born in there. He was hatched in there. And to get out, he had to bore his way out. That pride that's in your heart, that proud heart that is a sin to God, that proud heart, that high look, that high mind, that is an abomination to God, it was born inside of you. And what happens is it begins to come out. It begins to bore its way out. And it begins to manifest itself in different ways in our lives. And it defiles who we are for the Lord God. In the book of Mark, I think I have this marked. Mark chapter 7. Let's turn over and look at that real quick. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Verse 21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride." Pride. Foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile the man. And you see the company that pride is keeping there on the inside of man? You see how it can defile you? It's in the same category. But yet we are proud, and oftentimes we are proud of our humility, thinking that we don't have pride in our lives. Pride defies God. Number two, pride defiles man. Number three, pride divides society. It's pride that divides us. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention." What is contention? That's a struggle, isn't it? That's a turmoil. That's a fight. That's an argument. The fact is that pride is divisive. It will destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your church. It'll destroy so much because pride, only by pride comes contention. Now think about this. If struggles and fights and arguments only come by pride, that means every fight that you've ever been in with your wife, with your husband, in your church, at your work office, on your ball club, wherever you've been, every fight you've ever had at its root was your pride. Every time. But I was right. Who cares? You can be right and be wrong about how you deal with things. Who cares if you're right? Proverbs 28:25 says, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." Prideful people are the ones who stir up strife. You ever known those people in your life? People who love just to keep something going and stirring, and they just want to cause problems all the time. That's because they have a prideful heart. And they love strife. Hey, listen, there's not a battle. There's not a war. There's not one church split. There's not one divorce that has ever taken place that pride was not at the center of it. Every time. Pride defies God, and therefore it puts us out of fellowship with God. Now, bear with me for just a second here. Your pride will defy God. It will defile you, and it will divide you in your society. Because your pride flies in the face of God and all that God is about, it will put you out of fellowship with God. Now follow me. When you're out of fellowship with God, guess what the next step is? You're out of fellowship with man. Listen, friends, you cannot be out of fellowship with God when it isn't too long before you're out of fellowship with your church. You're out of fellowship with your husband, with your wife, with your co-worker. You can't stand your pastor anymore. I've heard people go, "Oh, Pastor West, best preacher I ever heard in my whole life. I just love Pastor West, the best preacher in the whole world." And then a little sin comes into their life, a little pride comes in there, and guess what? He's the worst preacher they've ever heard in their life. Can't stand his face anymore. I wish he'd fall off that stage and break his leg. We've actually gone to people's houses and say, "You know, Brother West, when I first came there, you know, you were just the best preacher ever. And now, I just can't get with what you're saying. I just can't understand." And Brother West, let me tell you something about Brother West. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, whether we like it or not, and we don't. He changes not. "Hey, Brother West, there's a hurricane coming. Hey, Brother West, you won the lottery." He doesn't change. And he'll ask him this. He said, "Well, did I really change?" And the answer is no. Amen. Am I right? Amen. The answer is clearly, clearly no. It isn't that he changed the way he preached. They changed the way they hear. Pride has come in and changed some things. It's put them out of fellowship with God. Now they're out of fellowship with man. I've noticed, and listen, you can link this back every time. Every time that I am disjointed in a relationship on earth, I can always trace it back to my relationship with God is not what it ought to be. It's always a breakdown with me and Him. And the only thing that would keep me going from going back and making that right is what? My pride. When I can't get along with my wife, when I can't get along in my church, when I can't do those things, it's my pride, because pride divides society. You mark it down. You ever have a discussion with your spouse? And I mean like one of those discussions that the neighbors could weigh in on if you asked. You say, "You know, I think you're wrong. I heard y'all discussing things." My wife and I have only had one fight in our 19 years of marriage. It's lasted for 19 years, but it's only been one really good fight. We're going to pick it back up tomorrow night when I get home. I'm certain of that. She's already sent me one message, said, "I love you. I love everything you do for our family. Don't ever leave me again with these four children." So I'm probably in for it tomorrow night when I get home. But you ever have those arguments with your spouse? And you know, and the best ones are the ones that happen on Sunday, right? Before you got to be all spiritual and preach and everything. You got to go to church and smile. "Oh, yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just love Jesus. We're here today. Yeah. Thank you for picking a fight with me, honey, on Sunday. Appreciate it. Yeah, how you doing? Good to see you." Preachers have fights with their wives too. It happens. We're humans. But those are great. Those are great. Those are good times. But what happens is you leave and you take yourself away from the moment and from that situation. And I've actually done this. I've actually left my home, went to my office, and sat down to study or pray. And it's not coming. And God is going, hello, swallow your pride and go back home. And you have to go back home, and you have to, young men, listen up. You have to say those three wonderful words that will keep your marriage alive for many years. I was wrong. And your wife will cherish those words and rub them in your face for the rest of your life. It's just how it is. This is just how life works. I was wrong. I am sorry. Y'all be writing these down. Write this down, young man. Write this down. Save you a lot of trouble. I was wrong. I am sorry. See, but before I can get to that point, I have to crush my pride. But it hurts so good, doesn't it? Because in the moment that I release my pride and I go, you know what? Hey, listen, you could have even been right. You could have been right. But wrong in how you said it. And wrong at the level that you took it to. But when you go back and you finally squash your pride, you can gap that division. And it's going to hurt because we love our pride. It's going to hurt. But it will reunite you. And then when you get things right with God, you can get things right with everybody else, and you can get back to where you need to be at. Pride divides society. So pride defies God. Pride defiles man. Pride divides society. Number four, pride dishonors life. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. It dishonors life. Proverbs 11, 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Now you can jot some of these verses down. I'm going to share some with you. But when pride cometh, then cometh shame. I'm letting that sink in. Proverbs 15:33, you can jot that down. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. You ever seen someone get the Congressional Medal of Honor? They didn't get there by being prideful. They got there by being a humble servant who would put themselves under the authority of other people's leadership and do heroic things by submitting themselves to somebody else. Before honor comes humility, but pride cometh and then cometh shame. It dishonors life. Isn't it ironic that the proud person, all they want is praise and honor, and yet the Bible says the proud person will only receive dishonor. Proverbs 18:12 says this, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, that means proud, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. What did it say about Satan a while ago? Well, about Lucifer, and he said, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. I shall be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down into the pit. You see, pride brings us low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And boy, did pride ever bring Lucifer low. Over and over and over again, this principle is taught right here in the Scriptures, that the humble shall be exalted and praised, and the prideful people will be abased. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now listen, if you want to be exalted in your lifetime, if you want to be lifted up, you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due time He will exalt you. You think about Old Testament Joseph. When Joseph went through all the things that he went through, you know, he didn't, You know, he didn't sin against God in that. He didn't do anything wrong, and yet he faced trial and struggle after another, after another, after another. As he went from the pit to the prison, God began to exalt him all the way up to the palace. Somebody who was humbled before God, who was a humble servant, God took him all the way up to second in command in Egypt. Those who are humble shall be exalted, and those who are proud shall be abased. It's a biblical principle that has been proven time and time and time again, friends. We have to eradicate ourselves of pride. Number five, and lastly, pride destroys souls. Proverbs 15:25 says, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." Now listen to me, friend. Pride is the road to ruin. Pride is the road to ruin. It's going to destroy everything in your life. I know some people have sacrificed everything for their pride. They've let their wife walk away. They let their children walk away. They've walked away from jobs, all because they wouldn't let go of their pride. It will destroy your life. It'll lead to personal ruin. It can ruin you personally if you don't let go of it. It can lead to national ruin. America is a proud nation, isn't it? We're full of all kinds of pride. Gay pride. Economic pride. Social pride. We have lots of pride in America. And friends, I got news for you. It won't be long before America is brought low. It won't be long. It can lead to domestic ruin, divorce. Divorces and dysfunctional families, I deal with them all the time. And they are the product of pride. They are. It'll lead to emotional ruin. It can destroy you emotionally as you ostracize yourself from people because you're so proud you can't make amends in relationships. But most importantly, pride will lead to spiritual ruin. Pride has escorted many people straight to hell because they were too proud to bend their knee and bow their heart and their head to God. Some people are too proud to be used of God. I don't want to see anybody ruined spiritually. Tonight, right now in this room, there is probably somebody who is still living in their sin, living in their pride, holding on to things. Tonight I'm asking you to let go of it. You want to have revival? You better sacrifice your pride on the altar. Lost person, your pride will keep you from coming and giving your life to Christ. That's it. You know, you're not afraid of Jesus. You don't have to fear Him. He's got open arms. He has love and compassion when other people don't. It isn't your fear. It isn't a level of commitment. It is your pride that says, I don't need a Savior, but you do. And you're going to die in your sin. And your pride is going to escort you to the gates of hell. It'll lead to your destruction. Lay it down tonight and come give your life to Christ. Saved person. Saved person. You want to have harmony and revival in this church? All you saved people, all you members of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, you want to have revival? Sacrifice your pride. Learn how to take a rebuke. Learn how to be corrected. Learn how to deal with things and move forward in a spirit of love and kindness, esteeming others more than you esteem yourself, higher than you esteem yourself. As we prepare to close and our musicians come, I want to look back at Luke 18. You don't have to go there. But when you look at Luke 18, you see that Pharisee who prayed, Lord, I thank you that I am not as other men are. I do all these things. I fast. I tithe. And then you see that old publican, that old sinner, who wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote on his chest and said, "Be merciful to me, God. Be merciful to me, a sinner." Now those two men teach us something that we ought to all know tonight. They teach us that there is nobody who is so bad that he cannot be saved. God can save anybody. Jesus can save you. No matter what your sin is, no matter how deep and how dark it is, Jesus can save you if you'll come and repent of your sin. As our pastor mentioned last night, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No one is so bad that they cannot be saved. But it also teaches us that no one is so good that he need not be saved. The Bible says that when one of them went away justified, that was the one who called on the Lord, and one went away dignified. Now let me tell you something. Everybody's going to walk out of this room tonight in just a few moments. We're going to walk out of this room and everybody's going to walk out one of two ways, justified or dignified. How are you going to walk out? You're going to walk out with your pride intact saying, "I don't need God, I don't need this church, I don't need this pastor, I don't need this preaching, I don't need any of this stuff, I can do this myself." You're going to walk out that way, or are you going to say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner"? It's your choice. Your pride will escort you right out. And when you bring it back with you, it'll begin to divide your church. Every ladies' meeting you ever have, any deacons' meetings you ever had, your pride, you're going to bring it right in there with you, friends, and it's going to begin to destroy that group and destroy your church. I'm telling you, I've seen it. Walk out tonight justified, not dignified. And say, "Lord, have mercy." And if you've already been saved, say, "Look, God, have mercy on me for pampering my pride. And remove it from me. Search me, O Lord. Try me. Examine me and see if there be anything in me that's wicked, and remove it from me and lead me." As our piano begins to play, we're going to close. Would you all stand with me? Can I tell you something? The other night I told you that being under the lordship of Jesus Christ means that I have to learn how to dethrone myself from my heart. And I have to learn how to enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ and put Him there and give Him lordship over my life. As long as you are still on the throne of your heart, Jesus is still on the cross. You put Him back there with your pride and you're just spitting in His face as you hold on to your pride. Here's what I would challenge you to do. As I would challenge any church that gave me the opportunity to sacrifice your pride and get things right with God. It'll fix a number of problems in your life as you get things right with Him tonight. We're going to sing a song of invitation. What number are we going to sing, Brother Steve? Page 513, if God's speaking to your heart tonight, would you come?